Good morning to you. Welcome to Sunday School today. I trust you've had a great week, and I trust today as we come together and we open the Word of God again to, first of all, to John chapter 14. We'll be there for one verse, and then we'll go over to some more verses today. As we're studying this time, God the Father, we're looking at Him, trying to understand a little bit more about Him as we look into the portion of God's Word John chapter 14 today. You know, I read this, saw this little cartoon the other day, picture cartoon. And this guy was calling Pete on the phone. He said, "Hello, Pete." He called Pete, you know, he said, "Pete, how have you made any New Year's resolutions yet?" And Pete said to his friend, he says, "No, I've not made any resolutions." He says, "You know, people make them, and in a couple of weeks, two or three weeks, they forget about them and don't even do them. So I quit making New Year's resolutions." He said, "But I do have a new slogan this year. I made a new slogan, and I got it on a T-shirt." And on the caption of the picture we saw there, he had a T-shirt on, and it has "Still Pete." He's going to change, you know. He's still Pete. This year, he's like he was last year, okay? Still Pete. So, but anyway, we do need sometimes to make some changes, don't we? Some alterations and everything in our life to try to be more dedicated to the Lord and to His service and try to, like Brother Alford said, help people and do things we can. But you know, it's a new start really for a new year and time to maybe evaluate ourselves, our lives, and things we did last year, and maybe things we need to do this year, maybe different. And everything. So I'm thankful for the challenge that we have and the opportunity we have to live from one year to the next. It's a blessing. It really is. John chapter 14. Look at verse number 8. Verse number 8. We're talking about God the Father. Trying to understand Him. Understand Him. We find in verse number 8. We're going to read just one verse today. We read this whole text before. But in verse number 8, Philip said unto him, that is, Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us." A request from Philip to Jesus was, "Show us the Father." Show us the Father. That's our thought today. Let's pray. Father, we ask you, Lord, today to help us to understand you more. But we're grateful today for the opportunity to open your word. And I pray, God, today as we open it together, read it, reflect upon it, and Lord, study together. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher as we look together today once again at you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done for us. God, I pray now, Lord, that today that each one of us, as we've come to your house, we thank you for the privilege, we thank you for the opportunity to be together today. And I pray now, Lord, you will meet with us. May the Word of God become real to us. May the Spirit of God be our teacher. And God, may you reveal to us once again more about you. Lord, as we go forth each day, thank you now for loving us. Bless those that are sick. Help them to be better. Thank you, dear God, for each one that's here. I pray now your blessings upon this hour together we have in Jesus' name. Amen. We said for the last couple of weeks, talked about how Christianity itself is based upon the Scriptures, God's Word. And we see also that it also endorses one God. There's only one God and none other. However, also we see that the Bible reveals God in three distinct persons, what we call the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We see that the Bible presents appearances of this throughout the Bible. I want us to look at one of them in Matthew chapter 3, if you will, please. Matthew chapter 3, we see the Trinity. We see God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter number 3, a very familiar text here. Talking about the appearance of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together. Matthew chapter number 3. Look at verse number 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, now Jesus is being baptized in this scene, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the what? The Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. You have Jesus being baptized. Then we have the Holy Spirit again descending like a dove upon him. And look at verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son. Who's that? In whom I am well pleased. Who's saying that? God the Father. So we see we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three here are revealed in this setting here in the Word of God. So we see here the Trinity, the triune God that we're talking about. We're talking about God the Father. God the Father. Now, it's hard to understand the Trinity. Brother Brian described the Trinity here a while back about the egg, how we have the shell, we have the white, and then we have the yolk. You know, this is the Trinity. You are, as a human being, a Trinity. You have a body, you have a soul, you have a spirit. You know, time itself is a Trinity. We have the past, we have the present, we have the future, the Trinity. There are many Trinities that we have. This universe is a Trinity. We have space, we have energy, we have time that make up the universe. So why, you know, it's sometimes too hard to understand what the Trinity is. But nevertheless, I still believe it. Amen. I still believe it. I don't understand it all, but I still believe it and I accept it as God's Word. So first of all, we must recognize that the Bible clearly teaches us that there's only one God. There's only one true and living God. It also helps us to reveal to us that this one God exists in three persons as we know as the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, in the Old Testament, we see the triune God exist, okay? But also we see in the New Testament that God the Father is revealed more in the writings in the New Testament. We see in the writings of the Gospel, what person of the Godhead is revealed? Tell me. The Son of God, the Gospels. He's revealed more. In the remaining of the Scriptures we see in the New Testament, we find God, the Holy Spirit, is revealed to us. So we see the teachings of all three throughout the whole Bible is revealed to us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God. Now, in these lessons we're studying now, we're trying to learn the person of God, the person of God, the Father, and who He is. Now, how can we know who God the Father is? How does God teach us who He is? First of all, there's two sources. Number one, we have the living Word. Who is the living Word? Tell me. Jesus Christ. We have Jesus Christ to reveal to us when He was here on this earth who God the Father was. He came, of course, to seek and to save. Yes, He did, the laws. But He also came to reveal, who God the Father was. Jesus told His disciples back in John chapter 14, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. You know, and when we see God, when we see Jesus Christ, we've seen the Father. We said last week, I think it was, Jesus was the visible image of God, the invisible God. And so we find here, I have a tickle in my throat this morning, who God the Father is by Jesus Christ on earth. We also see another way that God has revealed to us who God the Father is through the written Word. The written Word we have. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. The written Word. Jesus is not here in person, is He? He's not. So the only source we have to reveal, to know who God the Father is His Word. And so we're going to look at that this morning if I quit coughing long enough. But the God the Father has been manifest to us by the written Word that we have today. Now, we're going to look at two things about God the Father. First of all, we're going to look at His nature. The nature of God the Father. And then we'll look at His character. The character of God the Father. Now, who then is the Father? Philip's request was to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father. Show us the Father. It's important for us to learn the Father, His nature, and also His character of who He is, so we can better understand the Word of God and who we are. Now, Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 11. Who then is the Father? First of all, His nature. Matthew chapter 11, look at verse 25. We see two things here in these verses, Matthew 11, 25 through 27. We see the mystery of the process of God, and then we see the mystery of the person of God. In verse number 25, at that time, what time are we talking about here? Jesus answered and said, if you look back up in verse number 20, you see what time He's talking about. Then began He, that is Jesus, to upbraid the cities wherein most of His mighty works were done, because they repented not. In other words, He's rebuking these people because they did not repent when they saw even the mighty works that Jesus Christ did in these cities here. And now He's saying to them, at that time, Jesus answered and said, talking to the Father, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. So we see here the mystery of God's process of revealing Himself. And then look at verse number 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. So we see here the Father also. So we see in these verses here, in verses 25 through verse 27, who then is the Father? Verse number 1 tells us, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. This is who Father is, the Lord of heaven and earth, according to Jesus Christ here in this passage of Scripture. Now, we see here, as we look at the nature of God, thank you. It might make it worse, I don't know. Well, thank you. But I've had this cough for about a month now. I can't get rid of it. You know, when I start talking, that's when I start coughing. So I had to be quiet. Okay, now, as we look at the nature of God, let's look at this. First of all, we see God the Father is the supreme ruler of the whole world, is He not? That's His nature. He's the ruler of the whole world. He has the whole world in His hands, so to speak. Everything in heaven and earth is subject to His authority. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Everything in heaven and earth is subject to His authority. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look with me in verse number 27. First Corinthians 15, 27, for He hath put all things under His feet. But when He saith all things are put under Him, it is manifest that He is accepted which did put all things under Him. Verse 28, and when all things shall be subdued unto Him, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under His feet, that God may be all in all. We see here that everything in heaven and earth is subject to the authority of God the Father. God the Father is who He is. Now notice, also, He is a spirit. In person, He is a spirit. God is a spirit. John 4:24 tells us that. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him what? In spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. So we see this. Also, we see in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, that God also possesses immortality. In other words, He does not die. He does not die. One day, we're going to put on immortality. When the rapture takes place and God calls us up into heaven, we put on immortality. We find sometimes it's called incorruption in the Scriptures, but God possesses this. We also see He is perfect. God is absolute perfect. There's none like Him. We're told in Matthew 5, verse 48, to be like God. To be like God because He is perfect. The scripture says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's what we're to strive to be like. Now, we know we can't be perfect. It's impossible for us to be perfect. But we're to strive to be like God. We're to be like God. Now, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ephesians. As we look at God the Father, who is God the Father? Ephesians chapter number 1. Every blessing that you and I have in this life, God Himself, God the Father, is the source of those blessings. Every blessing that we receive, God the Father is the source of these blessings that He provides for us. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, we see, beginning with verse number 3, first of all, God the Father is the subject of these verses. God the Father is the subject in these verses we're going to read right here. Now, notice what the Scripture says about God the Father. Verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Blessed us. Hasn't God blessed you? He's blessed me. He's blessed all of us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings, notice, in heavenly places in who? In Christ. So we see here, first of all, that He blesses, His blessings are heavenly. They're not material. The blessings that God gives us. You know, sometimes you and I may evaluate ourselves and say, yeah, you know, I don't have many blessings. But I'm telling you one thing. If you're saved tonight, today, you have received the greatest blessing in life. To be saved and know Christ as your Savior. But also we see that there are many blessings in life that are not material. That God gives us. That God presents to us as His children. And I'm thankful this morning for all the blessings of God. God is, God the Father we're talking about now, He blesses us. His blessings are heavenly and they're not material. Notice He says, He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. So we see the source of every blessing is from God. Every blessing is from God. The health that I have, the strength that I have today, the blessings that we have come from God the Father. Come from God the Father. He's the giver of all blessings. Notice also, looking at verse number 4, according as He has what? Chosen us. He's chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. God has chosen us. We see He has chosen us to be holy, to be blameless. God the Father has chosen us. This is a blessing. This is the source of every blessing. God has chosen us to be holy and to be blameless before Him in our lives as we live for Him. Notice in the next verse, number 5 and verse number 6, another blessing here from God. Verse 5 and 6, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise and the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Because of God the Father, we can be called the children of God. The children of God. God the Father has blessed us that we might be His children. His children. My, what a blessing we have in God the Father. He has adopted us as children. As children. You know, I can't understand, first of all, why God would even love me. Because I'm a sinner. Undone. I was on my way to hell. No thinking of God at all in my life. Living my life, doing what I wanted to do. God in His love reached down. Through the preaching of the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God, and the anointing of the Spirit of God upon that, helped me to realize who I was, a sinner, a lost, and on my way to hell. And God, by His grace, saved me. That's a blessing, folks, to be called, be adopted into God's family. A blessing from God the Father. God the Father has provided that for you and I. He's made it available for everybody. That is God the Father, of course, through Jesus Christ. But God the Father made it available. Now notice verse number 7. In whom, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We have redemption. Redemption. We've been paid. Jesus Christ paid the price for my sin and for your sin. We see here, God has redeemed us. He's forgiven us of our sins. My. What else could we say? What else can we say about that? How God's redeemed us. He's forgiven me of my sins. You know, I can offend you and you can forgive me, or you can forgive offend me and I can forgive you. That's one thing, and that's good. We should. But when the Creator of the world forgives us of our sins, that's indescribable. That's indescribable. But he does. He does when we put our trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. He has forgiven us. He's redeemed us of all our sins. Now look at verse number 8. Wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. We see here that God has given us wisdom and understanding. He gives us wisdom and understanding of his word as we read it and as we study it. You ever tried to read the Bible? Remember back before you got saved, you tried to read the Bible? And my, you just couldn't get anything out of it. I know I did in my life. Therefore, it was kind of hard to even get started after you got saved. You know, you said, well, it's going to be the same way. You know, but when you learn how to, when you've been learned and we're taught and instructed by other people, that before you read the Bible, pray and ask God to give you instructions and help you, and he will. Because the Holy Spirit now indwells us. And as we begin to read the Bible after we're saved, we begin to get understanding. It began to become alive to us and become real to us because it was for us, as we know, as our food, spiritual food. Now look at verse number 9 and 10. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, God the Father, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purpose in himself, God the Father, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. We see here God hath revealed the mystery of his will to us. He's revealed it to us through his word. Through his word. So we see that God the Father is a source of every blessing. Every blessing that we have in our life, God the Father is the source of it. Again, here in this verses right here, 3 through 10, God the Father is the subject. We see his nature. We see his nature. He has made known unto us the mystery of his will. I'm thankful today to know that it's God's will that all be saved. All come to the knowledge of the truth, but all won't, but all won't. Now, let's look in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. Let's look secondly at his character. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. What one word would you think would describe God the Father above other words that you know of as far as his character is concerned? One word. Love. Okay. There are many words. Holiness. There's a lot of words that can describe the character of God. But in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, we see the word love here. Love here. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is what? God's what? Love. Class, God is what?
Love.
Love. Okay, wake up. We find here his character is love. God loves everybody. We see this here. See, love is the foundation of the character and the law of God. The character and the law of God is love. And we see this, it's true. Turn over to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. We see here two questions. A question is asked and a question is answered. In Matthew chapter 22, look at verse 35. Matthew 22, verse 35. Then one of them, that's a Pharisee, one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempted him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now we see here in verses 34, 35, and 36, the question is asked, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Which is the greatest commandment in the law? Of all the law God give, which is the greatest? Which is the greatest? And we notice in verse number 37, we find the answer. Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. He said, this is the first and great commandment. Love the Lord with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind. We see love is the character of God. The character of God is love. We see that God reveals himself to us through love. You know, I'm so glad that one day God, through his power, will overcome evil in the world we live in. When the holy city comes down from heaven, he sets up rain down here on this earth, there will be nothing but love. Nothing but love. Something the world has never known before, but at this time he will know no longer. Only those, we find this. So the word used in the Bible to sum up the character of God is simply that God is love. God is love. We're talking about God the Father here. He is love. Now, our English word love has many meanings. And sad to say, it's been abused. To where the world today doesn't know what love is when it comes to real love. But the Greek word agape in the term Bible is used to describe godly love or the love of God. It even includes to love one's enemies, to love everybody, agape, love. So we must learn to think as God thinks, okay, and do as he does as the Father loves. We should be like him. We should be like him. When we do exercise this kind of love as a believer, we express the image of God. Though we're still human, we're to express that. But the author mentioned that a while ago about, you know, being concerned about people that have needs in their lives. You know, this is how we express God's love towards people. You know, I don't know if you notice or not, people in the world are hurting. They're bitter. They're upset with a lot of things in their life. I mean, when you get around people, you can sense that. You can see it in their faces. You can see it in their speeches and all this. They need someone to love them. And listen, if God's people don't love them, who is? They won't be loved. They just won't be loved. They're going to miss out on it all. So we need to add this to our lives. And we add the human beings. We cannot generate the agape love in us. It takes God himself to do that. We don't have it within us to love like we should. But God in us enables us to love as we should. Now, agape love, God the Father. What way has God the Father expressed this love to mankind? Tell me. How has God expressed agape love to mankind? Give me one verse of Scripture. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is agape love. God loves us. God the Father we're talking about now. God the Father, you see. The world is not easy to love. And the Bible tells us to love not the world, really, nor the things that are in the world. We're not to do this. But living in this world as a believer, we sometimes become too much aware of the problems and the afflictions of people. But you notice God the Father? He had a focus and he had a plan. Therefore, we see that he loves mankind. He loves us. He recognizes that we're going to sin. And yet he still loves us. He still loves us. The Father is guided by his plan, not by the sins of mankind when it comes to loving. He's guided by his plan. He has a purpose, he has a plan, and he's fulfilling that. Now, what is the relationship between God the Father and Jesus Christ? What kind of relationship did they have? Well, we know it's close. It's a close relationship. Turn to John chapter number 10. God the Father and God the Son, their relationship. John and chapter number 10. We get verse 15. We're going to see the Father here. As the Father knoweth me, Jesus is speaking, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. So we see here a relationship between God the Father and God the Son. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. And then we see his commitment as a son, and I lay down my life for the sheep, Jesus says. I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, what is the force, if you want to call it, the motivating force that defines and also guides this relationship? In other words, how is this relationship held together, so to speak, between the Father and the Son? How is it held together? Turn over to John chapter, look at verse 17. John 10, 17, we find here. We find, first of all, therefore doth my Father love me. Why? Because I lay down my life that I might take it again. We see here his love. Now, notice also verse number 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now, what do we see here? We see his love. We see his life. Okay? We see here the motivating force that defines and guides this relationship. What is it, folks? It's obedience. It's obedience. Jesus obeyed his Father. This was proof he loved him. The world today does not equate love with obedience. No, it does not. But Jesus here expresses his love to the Father by obeying him. I love my Father, therefore I am going to obey him. Even to death. I want to die for him because he wants me to do that. I love him and I'm going to obey him. The same kind of love is required of us as children of God to obey. You know the song we sing so many times, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The scripture says obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. Obeying God. So we see here, this is the thing that defines and also guides the relationship, was Jesus' obedience to the Father. He obeyed his Father in all that he wanted him to do. He prayed many times, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Even to when he was going to die. Not my will, but thy will be done. I'm going to obey you, Father. Can you imagine what it would be, parents, to have your children always obey you? What a different world we'd be living in, right? It would be entirely different, you see. But Jesus was willing to obey. He was willing to obey his Father, see. Christ said to his disciples in chapter 15, verse 10, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. John the Apostle, he wrote, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. We keep his commandments. So we see obedience here is the thing that guided and defines the relationship that Jesus Christ obeyed God the Father. He was willing to obey him. Now, what miraculous way did God the Father express his love to his Son? How did God the Father prove to his Son that he loved him? When Jesus Christ was willing to lay down his life for the Father and die, how did God the Father reveal his love to his Son? Anybody know? Got a thought? Huh? resurrection. He raised him from the dead. Notice if we go in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. God is showing his love towards his son, the fact that he would give his life and die for mankind. Acts chapter 13, look at verse number 29. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead. Now, look at another good verse. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. We see the way that the Father expresses his love to his Son. Romans chapter 8, I'm sorry. Verse number 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now turn over to Romans chapter 10, a very familiar verse. Romans 10 and verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that who? God had raised him. Who is him? Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. This is the miraculous love that God, the Father, expressed to his Son because he was willing to die. If you die, I'm going to resurrect you. I'm going to resurrect you. It's not going to be in vain. Your death is not going to be in vain. You'll prove it to a world that we love one another and that we love them. My, what a miraculous event this was at this time. So we see here, he came to reveal or to unveil the Father to humankind. We've already talked about that. One more thought today. Who is the ultimate source of all Bible truth? Who is the ultimate source of all Bible truth? Turn to John chapter 8. Talk about God the Father. John chapter 8. Look at verse number 28. Then said Jesus to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. But notice, but as my who? Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Who is the ultimate source of all Bible truth? God the Father. God the Father. My. When we begin to look at God the Father and all He's done, all He's doing, folks, we just can't explain Him. Words can't express how great God is and all He's done and all that He's going to do. Next week, we'll continue our study on God the Father. We're going to talk about who initiated salvation. You know, we're going to talk about some things also about God. Four ways God is Father. Four ways that God Himself is Father. Thank you for being here today. Father, we're grateful, Lord, for who You are. We thank You for this time now You've given us from Your Word. Lord, I pray somehow, Lord, You would take the Word of God by the Spirit of God and reveal to each one of us, Lord, who You really are. Lord, that we might love You more and we might have a desire to serve You. Thank You for each one that's come today. And I pray now, Lord, as we continue our services here today at this church, that You'd have Your will and way in everything that's said and everything that's done. There's one here that's lost. I pray, Lord, today they might trust Christ as Savior today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.